Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. With me today is a truly a special guest, Andrew Cairns. Andrew is a truly a mover and shaker, and in less than 3 years in real estate, he quickly scaled to 110. Let me say that again, 110 single family homes in Austin, Texas. I got to get into that during the thing as well. I don't know what he was thinking about, but anyway, that's for, let me finish his bio. Cause I think it really speaks to a lot of what he's done in the last year at the Jake and Gino community. Recently, he's partnered with a GP team to purchase a 75 unit apartment community in San Antonio, which has taken his assets to over $31 million. Wow. Andrew, welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing good. And just to, you know, kind of lob onto that at the end there, we actually just closed another 48 units just last week to finish off the year.
Wow. I have so much to talk about on the show. First of all, you know, the listeners, we got to excuse Andy's accent. I mean, he sounds a little funny sometimes. And if you think he sounds funny, he's a Buc-ee's boy. So he's created the brand around wearing Buc-ee's paraphernalia. For those of you out there that don't know what Buc-ee's is, I didn't know what Buc-ee's was up until about a year ago. They're, you know, this big gas station that sells beef jerky and jewelry, and they've got a cult following. And I think Mr. Andy is a cult follower. So before we get into the Buc-ee's story, how did you get into real estate? I mean, 110 single family homes, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of closings, a lot of transactions. How did you get into real estate?
Honestly, I got into it because I've always been interested in it. The very first job I had out of college was working for a real estate company in Scotland, and they built very expensive houses, probably the most expensive houses you could buy in Scotland. And I just done the IT, and that was my background, my passion. But I was always interested in what they were doing. So when I moved to the US, I started to get myself educated, reading some books, and found bigger pockets, and then found a meetup, which is where I met my business partner, Scott, who is also from Scotland. We just started buying properties together, honestly.
And I think I'm going to have Scott on another Movers and Shakers podcast, because I like to hear his twist on his story, because I'm sure he's got a lot of great stories. But Andy, I what I love about your strategy is you really have a dialed in buy rate criteria. And we really talk about that at Jake and Gino, having your buy rate criteria. I think you had a great one for single family homes. Can you walk me through buying your first deal? Did you buy it with Scott, that very first deal? And how did you land upon single family homes, and especially the niche that you were in single family homes?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in multifamily, but I always thought it was for people who had tons and tons of money, and that was not me. And for big corporations, and again, that wasn't me either. So I just started buying single families. The first one I bought was with my wife, and it was just the first house that we purchased. And then we were due to have a baby, and I realized it was easier if we could afford the mortgage on the first house and rent it, and then buy another property. So that's kind of how we fell into the real estate, kind of game, I guess, without really kind of meaning to. And then the first investment property that we bought with Scott that was actually an investment was in February 14th, 2020. And it was a duplex.
So how did you scale up so quickly into buying over 100 units of single family homes?
Honestly, we were very, very lucky, I think, in the way the market kind of progressed in Austin. Rates were super low. Properties weren't super high valued at the time. So we were buying them, buying the worst of the worst properties in Austin, and then renovating them, renting them back out, basically just doing the burst strategy, but kind of on steroids as quickly as we possibly could. So as the market appreciated through the roof, we were able to do cash out refis and take that money and then, buy one property, then buy two properties, buy four properties, and it kind of just scaled out of control from there.
Andy, but talk to me. Why do you say it's lucky? Why is that lucky?
We didn't pick the market. It was just our backyard. I think Austin was just doing very well economically, and I think the growth here, for us, it was very helpful. We wouldn't have been able to scale as quickly if the market hadn't appreciated. And there is a little bit of luck involved in that. But again, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
I mean, isn't it a testament to actually educating yourself, getting on bigger pockets, having your why, connecting with a great partner? I think Scott's an awesome partner. I think he's amazing. I think he's high level, just like you are. But then actually taking the action. A lot of us are in the right market. There's a lot of people who live in Austin who didn't do what you've done. There's a lot of people who have the motivation and the desire, but they didn't get educated. So isn't that a culmination of all that going on and saying, hey, I'm going to take action. I want to learn how to do this, buy one, buy two, buy three. I mean, don't you think there's a culmination of all that going on?
Absolutely. We bought our first property right before COVID started as well. You know, like we bought in February 2020, COVID kind of hit March 2020. So, you know, that kind of put a little bit of a damper on it. But one of my good friends and mentors always told me, never let a good crisis go to waste. So we kind of took that advice and we're like, let's just go for it and see what happens. Obviously, there's a little bit of, you know, the scarcity mindset, I guess you could say, of how we're going to rent to people during a pandemic. But that's kind of where we fell into our niche of renting to Section 8 and the low-income housing.
So instead of going into the fetal position in February of 2020, you said, I'm going to take action. I'm going to figure this thing out. And your part of your strategy, you do owner financing in these deals as well, correct?
We have done owner finance. Yeah, we've done quite a fair amount of deals on creative financing. Yep.
Now, when you bought these deals, did you ever think of an exit strategy? Or were you just buying these deals, accumulating them, and just saying, hey, I'm just going to keep buying these things until I accumulate 10,000 of them?
Yeah, we didn't honestly stop and look back until we joined the Jake and Gino program. Honestly, we were kind of just in the mindset of let's buy as many as we can, as quickly as we can, based on our criteria. And that's what we've done. So it was kind of nice to sit back and look at, you know, what we had achieved in, you know, two and a half years from when we started joined. But
what drew you to multifamily though? You keep buying these things, one closing, the next closing, the next closing. You're fixing the property up. All of a sudden you got another renter in there. You cash out refi to the next one. It's exciting. But at some point you say to yourself, this is a lot of work. I could have bought a 70 unit apartment complex like I did and a 40 unit in two transactions and achieved all I did with these hundred. Not there's difference, there's different equity splits, there's different ownerships. But what drew you to multifamily?
The big thing for me was I've always wanted to do multifamily, but again, as I mentioned earlier, it was all about, you know, it felt like big corporations, big money, and that's not what we were. You know, we didn't come from money, we didn't have money, so it just felt out of our reach. So again, when we joined the program, you know, we learned it was more of a team sport versus just me and Scott and another business partner that we have. So yeah, it was just, can we kind of consolidate and put everything in one place? You know, have one roof to fix versus 100 roofs to fix, you know. So the scalability of it just felt a bit easier for us to kind of move forward and scale our business versus trying to do onesie twosies all the time.
What other pain points do you think you had before you joined the community?
The big thing I've really got from the community is that aspect of team. You know, it was just me and Scott and our business partner, Daniel. The three of us were just going at it. None of us had any business experience or any real skill set. We've kind of just learned on the job and got better as, you know, as we've developed our skills and came up with different scenarios and went through those scenarios. But having, you know, being part of the community and working with people who have been through that before and on a bigger scale, it really kind of allowed us to kind of look forward and plan to scale our own business a lot quicker than what we probably would have done if we hadn't have joined.
When I say to people, you have to invest in your education, I want everyone to listen to this next question and Andy's answer, because this is truly important. How many events have you gone to in this past year to further your education?
Since we decided in May, 2022 that we were going to stop buying single families and move to the multifamily spaces, which is when we joined the masterminds that we've joined, we've probably been to 30 events this year.
30 events, everybody. That's somebody who's truly committed to learning. You need to invest in yourself, understand what you're trying to buy. And I was at an event that I spoke at in Charlotte. I remember Andy and Scott were in the crowd. I'm like, hey, what are the Bucky boys doing here? They just joined Jake and Gino. This is great. But that event was about capital raising and about networking and about, I guess, branding and meeting all their high level investors, going to 30 events. So if there's anybody out there that says they don't have the time, I will challenge you right now. Do you not have the time, or are you not committed? Because 30 events, that's probably on average in the last eight, that's probably 3 out of 4 weekends going to events. And let me ask you, what is your wife? She's on this journey as well. How has she transformed in this journey with you?
She is. She's in full support of what we're doing. She knows it's very important to me, and she's basically the CEO of our family. She looks after our kids when I take off at 4 p.m. to drive to Houston for 3 hours to go to a meetup for an hour and a half to then drive home again, and so she's left with the kids a lot, and she's fully on board, and I'm just madly in love with her that she allows me to do that.
And how was that conversation? Because there may be some listeners right now going, my wife is not fully on board. And I don't want to say, how do I convince my spouse or my significant other? Because for me, when I kept saying to Julia, hey, Julia, I just want to be financially free. In her mind, she's like, well, we have enough. We got money. I mean, I don't have to worry about money. But when I said to her, hey, how about me working when I want to, where I want to, I can, gift more. I can possibly, have family come down for a vacation, stroke a check every now and again. That was my picture of financial freedom. I really talked to her about it, and I shared that with you. What did you say? Or what would you say to the listeners if they want to be able to have their spouse jump on board? And I mean, your wife may not be going out to properties and analyzing properties, but the peace of mind and the tranquility that you have, that she's part of your team and you can go and talk to her, and she's really, like you said, CEO of the household, and you've delegated responsibilities. What would you say to the listeners?
The big thing for me was proving to her that I had the ability to do it. And she always had the trust and kind of trust in me that I could do it. So we started off with $35,000, and she was like, if we lose it, we lose it, and that's it. But if we make it work, then you make it work. So I wasn't going to blow that opportunity, honestly. So
that's a lot of pressure there. You better, better not lose it.
Well, she's a CPA, so she knows how to manage her money and run
businesses. So she's the smart one, huh?
She's the smart one, yeah.
I'm going to give everybody a tip out there, and Andy should probably say this, and I think this is the most important thing. Actions speak louder than words. He has gone to 30 events. He's gone to multiple Jake and Gino events. He's done multiple property tours. He's taking massive action. It's one thing to say to your significant other, yeah, I'm going to do this multifamily thing. It's another to actually go out there and do it. And that's what I did early on with my wife. I showed up at every event. I was doing podcasts. I was underwriting deals. I was talking to brokers. I was educating myself. I was going to events. I started the Jake and Gino community. So I was fully locked in early on to prove to my spouse, to my wife, that I really wanted this to make it work and make it happen. And I put a lot of effort into it. And you should mention that, hey, it's not just me saying stuff to her. I actually, by my actions, have proved to her that I want this to work, and I'm going to do anything I possibly can to make it work.
Yep, absolutely. And again, being gone a lot of weekends to these events, missing out and, spend time with my kids, I want to make sure that I'm all in. Because that's at the end of the day, it's for them.
I want you to convince the listeners. It's one thing for me to say, but it's for you to say, convince them on why they should be attending these events. What do you get out of these events?
I think the big thing for me is obviously meeting like-minded people. It puts you in that kind of proximity is power type of thing that Luke Wren spoke a lot about at MM5. That was huge for me, like putting that into words. Because that's really what it is I'm trying to do is get around the right people, the people with the same mindset that are trying to achieve the same things and do the same things. That was the big thing, was getting around the right people. But then also just hearing, everyone has a different story and a different way of doing things, and you can kind of form your own opinions on what you like and what you don't like. So that was the other big thing for me was hearing other people's stories and getting myself educated that way from other people.
And what I think... what I'm hearing is it's your paradigm is growing. Right now you have one certain way of looking at things, and that's what you're exposed to. And that's what really people with a fixed mindset really have. This is the way I do it. This is the way I've done it. People with a growth mindset or the mind belief say, there's a lot of people out there that are much more successful than me. Let me go to these events and see what that person is doing, and let me see what she's doing. Oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of syndicating a deal. I never thought of using creative financing for multifamily. I never thought of looking at a property in this area. And all of a sudden, you start getting these different ideas. and your mind belief and your paradigm starts growing, the map at life with which you look at life, and all of a sudden your beliefs, your limiting beliefs, start getting crushed because you start seeing other people doing it, and you say to yourself, wow, I never had this circle of friends or this circle of influence around me. I was always stuck with this type of person, with this type of mentality, but let me step outside and let me go to these events where, you know, Shaquille O'Neal was speaking at that event. I remember Jocko was there, you know, Barbara Cork. There was some amazing people. Then you go to MM5 and you have Luke Rentz speaking there. You have Julius Thomas speaking there. You have Ryan Serhan speaking there. All these people that are so high level, and you're saying to yourself, I never thought of it that way. Let me see what they're doing and let me try it out. That's, I think, one of the most important things that you can actually pull out from all these events and going around and networking with other people. Now for you, before we get into the deal and talk about, you know, the buy right criteria and what your strategy is, how did you guys fall in love with the Bucky brand?
So that was an interesting story. It basically started off with t-shirts. So me and Scott would go to Bucky's, you know, because it would be on the way to somewhere and we'd stop and, you know, fill up some gas. And then they started just having cool beaver t-shirts. So we started buying them, and then we would wear them to the closings for the single families. But we were closing single families so quickly that our wives couldn't keep up with the laundry, basically, to, you know, have them, you know, ready for us to wear at the next closing.
It's a good problem to have, by the way. That's a very good problem to have.
So we ended up just going back to Bucky's and just buying more and more and more t-shirts and kind of just expanding that collection. And then we were buying a property that was over $500,000, and we're like, really should wear a button-up shirt because it feels like a more formal, you know, process. So that was what we'd done. We went and got formal kind of button-up shirts, and it was mostly, honestly, to piss off our wives because they hated the fact that we would coordinate to go to these closings. And so that's kind of what we'd done. And then by accident, we were like, let's just wear the Bucky shirts to these events. Everyone seems to be kind of all, you know, suited and booted, and, you know, we are not that type of people, so we just have a bit of fun with it and try and stand out. And then obviously having the accent as well, I think, helps you stand out that a little bit further.
Absolutely. And what I love about it is you want to do it to piss off your wives. So all you single family home people out there, you're wearing t-shirts. When you graduate to multifamily, you got the button downs, right? Is that what happens?
Yeah. That's it.
I love that. And you know what's funny, everybody? I've spoken to people about Andy and Scott, and I'll say to people, the Bucky boys, they don't know Andy and Scott's name, but they know the Bucky boys. And it's amazing to have the conversation, to start the conversation. Whether you love Bucky's or not, the gear is fun. It's really fun. The accents are great. And it's just a great way to build your brand. So for anybody out there, if you want to stand out, try to become unique or try to do something that other people aren't doing. And to have the story, I could create an amazing story for Andy. I mean, starting out with $35,000, right? And then telling his wife, hey, let's make this work. If it doesn't work, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to buy one house. Then I'm going to buy another house. And then we're going to start burying these houses. And all of a sudden, I look back, we've got 100 homes. So from $35,000 to over 100 single family homes. But they don't stop there. They're like, you know what? How do we get into this multifamily game? And, you know, let's talk about the multifamily right now. What is your buy rate criteria? What kind of deals are you looking for? And then I want to ask, you know, your exit strategies and what your end goal is with multifamily.
Yeah, so the first two deals that we've done this year, you know, since we started in June, was we bought a 78 unit in San Antonio and then a 48 unit in San Antonio. Both of those were syndications. I don't know that we enjoyed the syndication process as much as we thought we would, but we wanted to do it to, you know, to say we've done it and we've tried it, and then at least we have an opinion on it. I think going forward, what we would like to do would probably be to continue doing JV deals, you know, the smaller stuff, maybe up to, you know, 50-60 units. I'm not saying we wouldn't look at, you know, something larger than that again, but for right now, I think our focus would be doing something smaller, unless it's with, you know, some people that we really enjoy working with and want to work with again.
What kind of deals are you looking at in what markets, and what is your criteria? Are you looking for two beds? Are you looking for older or newer properties? What are you looking for?
I'd like to say 2 to 3 beds, because, you know, as you know, we do a lot of Section 8 and low income housing. I don't know that I would like to fill a multifamily with all Section 8, but generally the more bedrooms and the property, the better for us. That's what we know. We're looking at Central Texas, pretty much anywhere from Waco to San Antonio. So obviously Austin. But again, by meeting other people at these different conferences, we are open to, you know, buying it in different states as well, as long as we have that trust relationship with someone.
And Andy, have you left your job yet, or to transition to real estate full time, or not yet?
Not yet, no, still working W-2.
When's and massively busy, going to 30 events, working a W-2, has kids. What is the I guess the exit strategy, the end game for multifamily for you guys? You want to get to a certain unit count? Do you want to replace your W-2 with it? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think that's the goal for 2023 is to, you know, get the cash flow up in the business, start managing it right, you know, going through that process. We're in the process of moving over to AppFolio for all the properties because we self-manage. And yeah, would love to get to a point where I can replace my W-2 income with cash flow from the business.
I think you're there a lot quicker than you think, because you've probably got equity in some of those houses. You sell some of those houses, and it's just an easy transition. You don't have to do it all at once, everybody. It's a plan. You don't have, you know, 3 years comes so quick. And by the way, we have the manage right. Jennifer, the coach, she can jump on a couple of calls with you for that manage right portion. That is crucial. Now all of a sudden you've gone from the acquisition mode to all of a sudden the entrepreneur mode, and you guys have 100 single family homes. There's gonna be a ton of systems that you can replicate from our manage right and just plug them right into what you guys are doing. It's, to me, it's super exciting because you've come from the single family space. You haven't done one or two, you've done 10 or 20, you know, in the first 3 months, and all of a sudden you're at 100. What would you say to the listeners out there who are, you know, maybe they might be realtors, or they maybe have a single family portfolio, or they may be fixing flippers? What would you say to them, their action steps that they need to start taking today to get into multifamily?
The big thing for me was getting educated, you know, getting around like-minded people. Yeah, make sure that's what you want to do. You know, if you want to scale your business, then that's the next step.
But why shouldn't everybody want to do that? Honestly, I think it's a limiting mindset for a lot of people, because they're like, I'm comfortable, I'm doing this. And it really, I mean, it's truly a lot of work to be able to manage and be able to have to fix 100 different hot water heaters, 100 different properties, 100 different roofs, 100 different insurances, 100 different property tax escrows. There's a truly a lot of work. Now, if you don't know it going into it, that's why I'm trying to convince people that listen to this podcast that there is a better way. I think, and I don't want to say it's easier, it's just a different way to scale your portfolio. You may do less transactions, but if you do two or three transactions a year of 25, 30 units, at the end of the year, you've got 50 or 60 units, and it's a lot less work by doing it. You can use creative financing, you can use syndication, you can use all these different strategies to get into it. But I think right first and foremost is just getting that over that mindset. Don't you agree?
I would absolutely agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I, you know, in the last couple of weeks here, we've been doing our property tax protest, and I'm writing, you know, 100 different checks to, you know, the one person from each different business. So if we could have, you know, have one check to write, that would be much easier on everybody.
Wow. And Andy, last question from me. I want you to really think about this for a second. And it's really a hard question to answer, because probably you wouldn't want to change anything. But if you had to go back those 2 years and you started buying right before the pandemic, it's almost 3 years now. What would you have done? Would you have done anything differently? What would you have done differently?
You know, I don't think I try not to look back and, you know, think of any regrets that I've had. I try and always kind of look forward. I feel that, you know, the work and effort that we've put in the last 2.5, 3 years has got us to where we are. And it's allowed us to get involved in deals that we maybe wouldn't have if we didn't have the portfolio and the experience that we have, you know, in place at the moment. Like the 48 unit, we were able to KP that deal. We probably wouldn't have been able to KP that if we hadn't, you know, kind of built that portfolio in the first place. So yeah, I try not to look back. Obviously, you know, mistakes, try and rectify them next time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really look back with any regret.
So I probably should have worded a little bit different, but let me ask, and I don't mean regrets. If I look back at my journey, the only one couple of things I would have said that I would have done sooner is I probably would have started sooner. That's one thing. I wish I'd
Yes.
gotten into real estate a lot sooner. And I didn't have enough pain in my life. My business was doing okay. I was pretty satisfied, pretty content, not really content, but not really disgruntled. And when I became disgruntled, that's when I went out and I sought an alternative strategy or something different. So I don't think it's a regret looking back. Just I'd like to summarize, and I'm always trying to think of, you know, the listener out there saying, well, you know what? if you have any regrets, you shouldn't, they're not that they're regrets, because there's always learning. There's always opportunities out of the problems that you have. But I wish I had started sooner. I wish I'd started educating myself sooner. And I think the other thing for me is those limiting beliefs early on. Who's going to talk to the pizza guy? You know, who's going to take me seriously? And that held me back from probably starting sooner, getting on calls, underwriting deals. And then the only thing that helped me with that was my education, getting on and finding a mentor and being able to learn. What spurred you to start educating yourself and start joining the Jake and Gino community? What was that moment that you said to yourself, I'll share mine with you. But what was your moment that said, I need to get serious with my education and I really need to start investing in myself?
Honestly, the big mindset shift for me was going from education that I could do kind of on my own, reading books and, you know, reading blog posts or whatever it was, or YouTube videos. But I remember I spoke to Dylan probably a year before we actually joined, you know, and I was like, oh, this is, you know, a bit expensive for me. You know, I could buy another house with this amount of money instead of educating myself, you know, and looking at it as an investment versus a cost. So that was my big mindset shift, honestly, was looking at it as an investment in myself versus a cost.
That's awesome. Because for me, when I look back, I had the pain of making a couple mistakes. I had a mobile home park deal that went bad. Then I had a strip mall that I bought that went bad as well. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I really need to know what a cap rate is. I really need to know what IRR is. I need to know how to analyze a market. I don't know any of that stuff. And then I read the book, you know, by T. Harv Eker, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And all of a sudden my mind shifted to, well, it's not the economy, stupid. It's not the market cycle, stupid. It's me, stupid. I don't have the skills. I don't have the results because I don't know what I'm doing here. And I'm like, damn, that made me feel really bad. And I said, you know what? I need to invest in my education. And I spent a ton of money those first couple of years, a rich dad program, and two more mentors. I read in the first 2 years, I must've read 200 books. I spent so much money, and I call it spending money. But like you said, I really invested into myself. But those are the pain points, understanding that it was all about me. It was all my responsibility. And what did I need to do to get myself right and to understand how to invest? And I think this is what most people don't understand, that once you learn the skill set, whatever Andy's learned in the last 12 months, that's going to stay with him forever. And he's going to teach his children, and he's going to teach other people, and he's going to create impact for others. That's the amazing thing about developing yourself personally. And I just think that most of us, we all look at it as an expense. And I think for the cost that he paid last year, he'd been like, no way. Now that he looks at it right now, he's like, I write that check tomorrow. That is so worth it. I'll get that back. You know, you have one more house, or you have another 100 single family homes. That's really the difference, right? If you hadn't joined the community, you may not be in multifamily right now. You may be in the kick in the can another year down the road and saying, hey, well, let me see. And more importantly, everybody, he is in the market cycle right now where there is going to be opportunity. So he didn't wait till the market crashed. He's in it right now. So he has his relationships. He knows what's going on in the market. He's locked in, and he's got a year head start on everybody that hasn't started. So I think everybody right now, the opportunity right now is to continue to invest in yourself and, you know, start those relationships, start working with brokers, start doing property tours right now, because the market is going to actually completely turn around. You want to add anything to that, Andy?
Nope, I think you're spot on. Just get started as soon as you possibly can.
Let me recap the show real quick, because I think Andy's show, I mean, his story, his journey coming from overseas, working at a real estate firm in Scotland, you know, building beautiful homes out in Scotland, then coming here to Austin, meeting his partner, Scott, then partnering up with another partner, Dan, starting to buy one single family home, then another, then two more, then three more, wearing Bucky's t-shirts. And then all of a sudden they say to themselves, I got to get into this multifamily thing. They get into the multifamily thing by joining Jake and Gino. And then all of a sudden they're syndicating. They never syndicated or raised capital anymore. And it's one of those things where they jumped in and they took action. They may not love syndication. They understand the model now. And if another big deal comes through and they want to work with people, great. That's a tool in the tool belt. They have creative financing. That's a tool in the tool belt. They also have partnerships and JVs. That's another tool in the tool belt that they can utilize. And I think going forward, being clear on what their path is, as far as their buy right criteria, as far as buying stuff in Central Texas, understanding what their model is with Section 8, it gives them a lot of clarity and it gives them focus on what they want to focus on going forward. Any final words before we sign off, Andy?
Nope. I just think, you know, get started, you know, get yourself educated and take action, you know, make it a priority if that's what you want it to be.
I love that. Andrew, I'm going to call you Andrew now. I've called you Andy the whole show. Andrew, thank you for being on today's show. It's been really an honor to see you grow over the last year. And I mean, people say, well, how long is it going to take? It depends where you are. I mean, he had 100 single family homes. He had sort of a specific mindset. He just needed a little bit of coaching and a little bit of direction and guidance. And he needed the community. He needed those networks and those relationships. And I think the most important thing is that mindset of doing it all by yourself. There are other people out there. And he said it as eloquently as I could possibly say, multifamily is a team sport. I want to thank you for being on today. I'm going to get your partner Scott on another show. Everybody out there, if you want to be in the next Movers and Shakers show, email us at michelle@jakeandgino.com. If you like the show, leave us a review. And until next time, let's make it a Movers and Shakers day. Thanks, Andy.